I want you to turn to a scripture in the Bible that many of you are familiar with out of Revelation chapter 3. And I'm going to be in two portions, a couple of places in the Bible today. But I want to talk to you about hoping again today. You know, so many things in our world that are going on, that terrible shooting at the Naval Yard in Washington, where so many lives were killed senselessly. And then overnight yesterday, that a terrible outburst in Nairobi, Kenya. I've been to where that place is, where now the death toll is over 60 at this time, where this radical group just went in senselessly, started killing people. And you might think, well, that's a long ways away, but boy, tragedy can come at any moment to any life. And we need to know that God is available. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that He's here to help you today. Revelation 1:18 in the New King James. He says, I am He who lives. I was dead. And I'm alive forevermore. He says, amen. He said, I have the keys to hell and to death. He has conquered them. And so no matter what you and I facing or going through in our life, you need to know today that Jesus is bigger than any of those things. We can go up and down in our walk with God, but when it's all said and done, if we'll put our hope in Him, He will help us through. And this story, this verse of Scripture in Revelation is really pretty incredible because it describes sometimes the life of what people are and what they go through. And here He speaks to this church by the name of Sardis. And He talks about them and He says some positive things, but then He gets to the core. And He's not beating up on somebody. He's just making real the reality of where they are in their lives. And this is what He says in Revelation 3. And I'm going to read this from the New International Version. He says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of Him, God, who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. I know them. And you and I can be anything we want. But beyond the cover of it all, Jesus says, I know your deeds. He says, you have a reputation of being alive. But this is what He says, but really, you're dead. And then He says this, wake up. I like how the New International Version says it, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, because there's a progression in our lives that if we don't strengthen what is left, and maybe you're here listening to me this morning and you're just in a place in your life where your life is cold and you're disconnected and there's no hope in your life, but He says to you and I today, there is something left in your life. You're here, you're hearing God's word today, strengthen it, add faith to it. Strengthen what remains. He says, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Because everyone here who is doing something for the Lord, and maybe you don't do anything in the church, but you're thinking, well, I'm a good person. I live a good life. I help people. I pray for my neighbor. I do this. I do that. Every one of those deeds, God knows the intent of your heart. Every single one, everything that you do, every person that you help, every deed that you commit to, beyond all of what the surface reasons are, He knows the reason that you do it. He knows that if you're really committed to Him, He knows that if your motive is to please Him or if you have some ulterior motive connected to it, He knows about that. And He says, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. And if you do not wake up, He said, I'll come like a thief. And you'll not know what time I will come to you. Because none of us know. Jesus could come at any moment, at any time. And what He's saying to you and I is for our hearts to be right, for our lives to be right, and for us to give everything that we are and what we have to Him. Because if we don't, this spiritual decline takes place in our life. And it causes this erosion in our lives that we lose out. We miss the life that He has intended for us. And David knew what this was. David knew what caused and created this. He says, unrelenting trials and temptations are a point that causes us to lose our hope in our lives. In Psalm 143, 3 through 6, he says, the enemy pursues me. And how many of you know that's true? The enemy comes after you. He crushes me to the ground. This is what David is saying, the apple of God's eye. Now, God, he was the apple of God's eye. Why is this happening? Because we live in just a fallen world. And David says, he pursues me, he crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead, so that my spirit grows faint within me and my heart within me is dismayed. Trials, temptations can cause you to get off track and to lose hope in your life. Personal tragedies can create it. It causes us to lose hope. David says in Psalm 61:2 again, he says, my heart, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I, that's higher than where I am, that's higher than the life that I'm experiencing. Another area that causes us to lose hope is when we come under attack by others. How many of you know that that can be the most brutal? We come under this attack and we get scorched by criticism in our lives. And people can be ruthless. People can be so tough and hurt you. Psalm 109:3, with words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without a cause. And if you know what I'm talking about, there is nothing worse than being let down and hurt and criticized and put down by people. And we live in a time and a world where the social media, the internet is 24/7, and people, it doesn't matter if it's truth or remotely, all they got to do is say something. And the unfortunate thing is that 80% of the population will believe it. And that, my brothers and sisters, has to change. Hello? Yeah. Criticism will tear people apart. Negativity, working without rest, continually in the grind all the time. David knew what this was like. Again, Psalm 63, oh God, you're my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You just can't go on and on and on and think you can do. You're not Superman. You are not the great I am. You have to have rest, because when we don't take care of us, and that not only goes for rest, that's eating right and putting the right things into your temple, your body. The Bible says is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that bodily exercise profits little. It doesn't say it doesn't profit at all. It profits a little. And we need to do this. Our body is given to us by God, and we are called to take care of it. Hello. Because when we don't, it has this propensity to have an effect on everything about us. Then he says that we live without hope because we go through guilt and shame, things of our past. Psychologists say that this guilt and shame will bring on the most stress in a person's life. Guilty for what we have done or what we've involved ourselves in. Something about our past. Guilt of what we've done. Shame is what we have become. And David says in Psalm 38:4, he says, my guilt is overwhelming like a burden too heavy to bear. Oh my goodness, is that true or what? And when we get into that place in our lives, we lose the hope that he has given to us. And so the Bible ends with this story in Revelation 22:17. This is what he said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, live in a lifestyle of being thirsty and hungry for him. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. And a verse that I shared last week, and I love it, and I don't think I ever read it in the Message Bible until last week, Isaiah 61:7, and it's not on the screen, because you have got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be double, and your joy will go on forever. Some of you have been going through double amounts of hurt and pain and trouble. God wants to double the blessing, double the joy, double the return of goodness to your life, double the hope in your life. And so what do we do? Well, first, you have to respond to the invitation, just like this morning when we were singing that song. And I felt that in my heart. And I tell you, I wrestle with this all the time because I don't want to do anything out of what I think. I want to do it being led by the Holy Spirit. But you have to respond to the invitation. You have to. No one else can. You have to. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, he says, is anybody thirsty? Here it is again. My brothers and my sisters, if we don't remain thirsty for the water that God gives, we will miss out on the hope that he has come to bring for our life. He says, come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's free. Why spend money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me. You will eat what is good and you will enjoy the finest of food. How? By just coming to him. You can't buy your way into your joy or into your fulfillment or into your hope. He says, come thirsty. Respond to the invitation. Have a hunger and a desire for the things of God. You also have to renew your relationship with God. Some of you, you need to renew it. Man, people get lethargic in their walk with God. And it happened. This was a perfect illustration today. Instead of putting him first, we put all of the outside things first. We look at so many different things first in a day. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, if you will fit God's word and your conversation with him first in your day, your life will begin to be renewed. And maybe many of us, we fail to do this on a regular basis, but if we do it, he will do something great and powerful for us. Isaiah 55, 3 says, come to me with your ears wide open. Here it is again. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I have promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely, verse 5, I will summon nations you do not know, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And when you begin to see your life renewed, people from everywhere will come and say, what's up with you? What's happened to you? I see a difference in you. What are you eating or drinking or what are you smoking? Because something now is different with you. And when we renew that relationship with God, he begins to change everything about us. Oh, come on, somebody say amen to me today. Don't leave me hanging up here. And the last thing, you got to repent of everything that is in the way. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if there's something, if there's bitterness in your heart, I'm not just talking about sin here. So we get so caught up on what's, well, that's wrong and this is right. And how about the attitude in our heart? We form opinions. We can become opinionated. We become religious Nazis. That one's not doing this right. That one, how about your heart? How about the attitude of who you are? Is God still leading and guiding you? Because if he's not, your heart is cold. And you think you have it all together, and you don't. And I'm not worried today as much about the young people that are growing up in our culture, that are stepping out a little farther, because their heart is so tender, has a tender tendency to it. What I worry about the most is people that have known the Lord for a long time and have put themselves in this rut where they think it's this way and it's the only way, and they become critical, they become cynical, and if the Spirit of God came and slapped them upside of the head, they wouldn't know it because it didn't come in the form that they were used to. Amen. Now, I didn't have that written down. That just all came up out of my spirit here this morning. But if that's you, you got to repent of that. Come on. You got to repent of it. And I'm getting to the age. I'm getting a little older now. I'm not that old. Amen. My birthday is next month, just in case anybody wants to know. Yes, I do accept gifts. Praise the Lord. I love them. Yeah, beautiful gifts. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm just messing with you. Repent. It's a fun thing. Isaiah 55. He said to seek the Lord while he can be found. Seek him. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn from the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God. Look at the word, for he will forgive generously. Oh, come on, somebody, you ought to clap your hand on that one today. You can hope again. Your life can turn around. Maybe you got stuck. You can get unstuck. You can live again. You can breathe again. You can get up where you are. You don't have to stay down. Come on. Amen. Come on. Amen me in here today. You don't have to stay despondent. You don't have to stay disconnected. You don't have to stay disjointed. You don't have to live with no hope. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe your life has gotten cold. Maybe you just flubbed up on some things. Okay. Stand up, shake yourself and say, this is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And behold, come on. All things, they're brand new again. Oh, hail, hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands. Believe God for a miracle in your life today. Spirit of the living God, close your eyes, bow your heads, close your Bibles. Father, I thank you for hope again. Prayer people, I want you to make your way to the altar right now. I thank you for hope again. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit to breathe into lives that are hopeless today. Breathe into families that are broken today. Breathe into humanity your power, your love, the blessing of the Lord. Holy God, I thank you, Lord, now. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. You need Jesus in your life today. You need Jesus in your life today. My brothers, my friends today, maybe you're here, you came in today. You've never given your heart to Christ. You need him in your life today. Maybe you've walked with him for quite some time and your life has just become cold. You become disinterested. Let me say this, heads about, your eyes are closed, please. I don't want anybody moving around. I don't want anybody looking around. Listen, this is a very special time with the Holy Spirit right now. Some of you, you've not made the house of God a priority, and it's part of your walk with God. You say, well, I don't need to go to church to love God. You know what? You're right on that. I heard that this week put so great. I don't need to go home at night to be married to my wife. But if I don't, how many of you know my relationship will be in jeopardy after a while? You need to be with other people of God. Some of you need to go home and tell somebody in your family that today too. It's a priority in your lives. Because the enemy will use it. He'll cause you to get cold, and pretty soon you'll wake up one day, you'll lose all hope. He wants to give you hope. You need Jesus in your life, number one. If you're cold, you need to rededicate your life to him today. And I'm just going to ask you to do that right now. If you've never given your life to Christ, right where you're at, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm here. I need you. I need your Holy Spirit now. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and my past. Be my Lord and my Savior. If you're here today, if you've not done that before, you do that. If you're here today and you've been away from him, you know you need to come back to him. He loves you. He cares for you. He can bring you hope again. Right where you're at, just say, God, fan the flame in me. Help me. Renew in my heart again, I pray. Lord, for those who have asked you to do that, I thank you that you're real. I thank you for your mercy. Oh God, you give it generously today. Each one of us need your mercy generously. Bless this beautiful people here today. Keep them and use them for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. them. Now listen before you leave. If you need prayer today, if you gave your heart to Christ, you rededicated your heart to Christ, or you just need prayer for something, these folks love you and will agree with you in prayer. Don't leave without coming down and being prayed for. I love you. If you're new here this morning, it's your first time here, I'm so glad to see you. We have a gift for you in the back, a bag. We want to give it to you, some goodies in it. Make sure you just pop at that table on your way by. Go in God's grace today. I love you. If you need prayer, you come on down before you go. These folks love you and will pray for you.